pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. All you got to do is text me, and I'll do my best to respond to whatever it is that might be on your mind. So come on the program, Will Hampson from P2 Public Affairs. Election day around the country. It's Wyoming and Florida. We'll get into that. We'll talk about some of these races to determine who the Republican nominee is going to be on the November ballot. It will impact the control of Congress. So that's coming up on the program. Kind of recapping the news. A lot of it is we spent a lot of time on flight cameras this morning. So, you know, we could continue that discussion on the text line. I'm sure that's where things are. Iran still, I think, is the issue as far as midterm election politics go. Crude oil, West Texas Intermediate trading at $85.35 a barrel right now. It's up 1% today. Interestingly, not quite as much, not quite as much there today in the news. Even CNN has it off of its crawl, but gas prices, I think, really will dictate a lot of the political outcomes later this year. Who knows? Still a lot of time, but I start to think some of this is getting baked into the equation. Also, we're talking about elections and the figures, Marcus Race and AL2. Kind of interesting as far as election politics go in Alabama, that the DCCC, they really are spending time in Alabama. There's no, like, Democrat infrastructure to be said for in this state. But there's a new chairman. You have to wonder if where that is headed. You know, does that give them signs of life, the Democrat side? Or is it just going to be status quo? And there's probably some things they could do just subtly. Be more engaged in certain particular races that they have a shot at. But I think the big one, it's not going to be Tommy Tuberville and Doug Jones. I think it's going to be Shamari Figures or Rhett Marcus. I don't buy the poll that they're tied at all. There's a whole thing about polling and the Francesca Hong Wisconsin race, a big national discussion about that and how the polling we have right now, media outlets are not polling as much as they once had. It's expensive. And the thing is that the results aren't reality. They are. So instead of trying to perfect it and try to understand, like, where did we go wrong? I think a lot of media outlets are saying, we're not going to touch this anymore. This isn't a proven means of conveying the news, the sentiment of the public. But as it turned out, in Wisconsin, there were just a lot of phony polls being pushed out there. That the results were being manipulated, as we've come to learn. And when people actually went to go vote, the candidate that was in front of those polls just wasn't really winning by 10 points. Was in fact, it was a dead heat. Yeah, think about that. If Francesca Hogg had, now this is the Wisconsin gubernatorial election, if they hadn't tried to like manipulate the system and showed that race was close, Biden had generated more turnout. Now, there's still a lot of people who are up there who are true believer DSA types who think that the election was rigged, they're with you. They think the results were manipulated in the end, late at night, behind closed doors. But the direction is taken, it hasn't gone after any kind of election integrity. There's people coming for the polling and how the polling is being used to try to manipulate outcomes, the spirit voter turnout. So there's a crisis here. Our polling in this country didn't used to be this way. It didn't used to be this bad. But that's on the news radar here as well, for those of you checking that sort of thing. Let me see here. I'm going to get to some text here. Unnamed texter writes, not a PSA. Well, we read that. I'm trying to, somebody keeps logging in here and knocking me off. We can't wait for you to go on hiatus and provide your buddy from Trustful to help us feel good about these cameras. We need to get him on. We had him on last week, but we didn't really spend much time on that. Because he on social media, at least, and I didn't listen to the program while I was away. Sometimes I'll listen in, but if we're doing something, then I have to turn the radio off. Or imagine having a five-year-old and having the Jeff Poor Show hosted by Scott Butcher being your primary source of entertainment. So that being said, we need to get him on and get it, because he's very outspoken about this, and he thinks it's a very good thing. Daniel writes, why didn't they widen the road 98 Barnwell to Magnolia Springs waste? They're going to have to eventually. The problem is that bridge crossing Weeks Bay. Can you build, do you build another span? Imagine the environmental concerns with that. And the expense. But ultimately, I think 98's got to be, maybe not in our lifetime, but someday. That's a growing place in Baldwin County. And from Foley to Fairhope, they got to do something. Maybe they build a new 98 where it's, you cross the Fish River before it becomes a Weeks Bay. I think that is certainly something they got to look at in the next 20 years for sure. Let's see, Thomas. I forgot to say those cameras on the Alabama side of the state line, according to Thomas, talk about the Mississippi cameras. You know, sometimes you see this, and I don't necessarily fully understand how it works. But, and I begin noticing this, as I've been going to Atlanta more recently, that even though you're in Georgia, the state of Alabama is responsible for a stretch of Interstate 85, about maybe 3/4 of a mile or so. And sometimes you see these states have trade-offs. Like, okay, we'll handle, it's just cheaper for us to maintain this road or bridge, even though it's inside of your state. It's in your state lines. Maybe they have police jurisdiction or whatever. But whoever is maintaining the roadway there. And is there a stretch of Highway 90 or the state of Mississippi says, okay, we will handle it from this point all the way into Mississippi. I don't know. Just me speculating. Unnamed texter, what are they doing on the side of 98 by County Road 9? Are they putting in a bicycle lane? I don't know. Maybe when we get Representative Fiddler, she can talk to us about that. There's something going on down there. I get down that way maybe once every few weeks. Gene, Paul Prine complained about how a large portion of his budget was used for surveillance and he had no control over. Where are those cameras? Well, I hear this, guys. I think Erica Thomas said the hold my beer moment for the city of Mobile. They don't want to just use stationary flock cameras. but using drone technology. They're talking about using drone technology, Gene, for data collection. I don't know if they're collecting the data, but at least for some kind of minimal surveillance. And it's all being done in the name to keep you safe. And that's the trade-off. How safe do you want to be? What are you willing to see? And I get back to this point. It's like, yes, we have a government for of and by the people. And if people want the cameras, if you're the persuasion that says, I just want to get to from point A to point B safely. And there are any number of actors out there who are acting in an unsafe way, in an unsafe manner. And the city looks at you and says, well, we just don't have that kind of personnel, those kind of resources. We can't have a police officer or traffic cop at every red light or every stop sign. And it's becoming a problem. Or how about this? Why don't they just park the police car there with a camera on it? No officer in the car. And that's the way they got around it. And it was marked City of Whatever Police on the side, and there on top or there in the dash or somewhere on the vehicle was a flight camera collecting your data, collecting your tag information, monitoring your whereabouts, how much you drive, assigning you a social credit score. See, like, we got to, like, kind of decide what the legality of these are. I said this earlier in the show, but this is what I think is going to happen. That the Alabama legislature, yes, there will be some kind of bill addressing this. But it'll be too cute by half. Well, we put guardrails here. This John Walsh said, maybe you make them delete the data after a certain amount of time. Well, there's ineptitude in all levels of government, particularly at the municipal level, where they just forget, or they just don't delete the data. Or what if there's a third party that's collecting it and they're not held to account the same way a municipal government is, that they're collecting the data? And they're profiting off of it in some way. And it gets back to this perverse incentive. Like, why are these things? That's the question that sticks out in my mind more. Where is this coming from? Why is this becoming a thing? Now, we first started seeing this, and I keep saying the city of Slocum. And a friend of mine is county commissioner in Geneva County. And at one time he was like the youngest county commissioner. He was like 18. That was several years ago. He's still a county commissioner. And they were putting up those cameras on county right away. And he took issue with that. And from that, it became like a big issue for everybody. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
What you do with me when you don't believe a word I
stayed up late again watching TV with my best friend, laughing at the late night show. I don't know what's wrong with me, cause I know I need my rest, but if I don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. 24 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. Still come on the program from PT Public Affairs, Will Hampson. So make sure you stick around for that. Tomorrow on the show, first time we'll have him on. He defeated Greg Allbritton in the May Republican primary for state Senate, but Terry Waters will join the program here at the Fairhope Bureau. So that's coming up tomorrow. Also, Joey Clark, as we do on Wednesdays, and a guest to be named later. We'll work on that at the conclusion of today's broadcast. If you ever want to know who's on the show, sometime at 8 o'clock hour on x.com/Jeff_Poor, you can find the guest roster. You don't even have to sign up for Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. You just go to that page and there it is. Typically, sometimes at the last minute, but I do try to post the show list during the 8 o'clock hour. Just a couple of texts here we'll get to before we get to our next guest. Before police could obtain any information from surveillance systems, including flock cameras, they should first obtain a search warrant. Well, how about this? Well, the flock cameras are there. They're just there minding their own business. And the police want the data. Then they go get the warrant. If there's like some kind of legal boundary, does that meet the constitutional parameters? They're just collecting it. We're not using it. Fire Dog writes, people running red lights in Daphne and Fairhope is at an epidemic level. I would love for them to put some kind of temporary cameras for a month, have an officer review the film, and ticket the hell out of everybody. I'm at a point where I could count two or three before I even hit the gas at a green light. The thing I noticed, this is because it's just kind of like the suburban sprawl issue, that people aren't accustomed to this many people on the roadways. Like, the roads are way more congested now than they've ever been on the Eastern Shore. And they're going through these traffic lights. While they're still green, but they're blocking the intersection. Are that they've been sitting there and the intersection has been blocked and it finally clears up and the light turns red, they just go on through. That maybe, Fire Dog, maybe there's this, that some of the traffic engineering needs updated to handle more people on the roads. I see this a lot with the turn signals. Now, you know, some of these intersections along 98, they just reinvented the wheel and built the separate little turn lane exit. But I think that's probably something to consider. Toothless Bammer writes this, you could probably shop for a judge that will see it your way. Referring to law enforcement. So, for example, as we were saying, if you're insisting on them to obtaining a warrant, then is judicial oversight of the warrant enough? Does that meet the criteria? If it's some of these municipal judges who by decree say, okay, we think that this is that whatever you say, police chief, or what do you say, police officer, I trust your judgment here. And does it become just a rubber stamp? Mike, why don't we just move towards a system like in the movie Minority Report to keep everyone safe? Maybe that's a great new use of the flocking cameras, AI, and these massive data centers that will save all of this information forever. I've never seen Minority Report. So I don't know. They're just in the public. There is this, people are wanting safety. It's just as Fire Dog said, people are maybe skirting the law more than they ever have. And it's out of frustration where they're okay with this technology. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Body on the radio land. Find the love just as true as mine. Good night, angel. Sleep tight, darling. And close your pretty brown eyes. Look
Dixieland.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. If you really want to interact with the program, we can get to your text later on the show, time permitting. So utilize the text line. Joining us now on the line, he's our Tuesday regular for P2 Public Affairs. Will Hampson joins us. Will, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, doing great. Happy Tuesday. Glad to be with you as always.
Thanks for coming on. Wyoming, Alaska, Florida elections today. Anything of note that we need to be watching?
Not really. I think a lot of these are kind of foregone conclusions right now. The national media, of course, will try and read into turnout and numbers and try and tell you, obviously, why no matter what happens, it's bad news for Republicans. But I'm not buying into the doom and gloom of that. I don't think that, you know, 49% turnout versus 40% turnout necessarily means anything. More looking at, obviously, kind of the general landscape of everything. And, you know, I think we kind of understand where we're at this point.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess the media seem more interested in today and particularly with Florida. It's pretty clear that state is, it's not a swing state like it once was, say 20 years ago anymore. But even in this cycle, are Democrats a serious threat, even statewide?
No, the intrigue, I think, in Florida is twofold. First of all, you've got James Fischbach, who's kind of run a crazy campaign. I mean, he's been out there, you know, calling Byron Donalds at kind of every trope in the book. He's been, you know, slinging around an AR-15 saying, show up and find out what happens. And then on the other, the Democrat side, you've got Alexander Vindman, who was the crucial part of the Trump impeachment over the phone call with Ukraine. So you've got some kind of intrigue there in the characters. I think they would love nothing more than to show that, you know, Byron Donald's a powerful known quantity who has the backing of Donald Trump. The national media would love to say that he underperformed, that this crazy guy was able to make a dent in all of it. But no, Jeff, I mean, at the end of the day, Byron Donalds is going to be the next governor of Florida. I think he's going to be a great governor. He's got the support of a lot of the heavy hitters, Rick Scott types in the state. So I don't think so, Jeff, but it does go to show you what kind of plays and what gets the intrigue of the national media. If you're a character, if there's, you know, there's a reason to find covering you exciting, they will make sure that they do that, regardless of your standing in the polls, regardless of how badly you're going to get beat. They will try and make intrigue out of nothing if it hurts particularly the Trump-endorsed candidates.
Let's talk about the polling. And so there's a big story coming out of Wisconsin. One of these polling firms acknowledged they were floating fake polls, and they said it was a social experiment. But it's just like the broader picture of polling, and the polling in Alabama at least has gotten just unworkable, unusable. But I see media companies getting away from polling. We could call it a crisis, but there is a polling crisis in America, and I don't know what's behind it. If the polls are just telling mainstream media outlets things they don't want to hear, so they're just going to do polls anymore. Are, you know, the ones that are really leaning heavy on polls or campaigns or advocacy groups wanting to promote a certain agenda. But we got a real problem here with the way polls are being used in this country.
Well, and Jeff, here's the biggest problem, right? If that polling firm in Wisconsin had not come out with a statement saying, joke's on you guys, we did a really bad job on purpose to see what would happen – nobody would have said anything. There's no recourse. It's almost like being a weatherman, right? I mean, if you're right once in a while, everyone will tell you that you're doing a great job, and all of the times that you are completely wrong, nobody really says anything. I mean, to your point, Jeff, the polling in Alabama was pretty abysmal this cycle. There were a lot of polls that showed that Jared Hudson was within 3 or 4 points. He was making a splash. It was going to be close. We obviously know that not to be the case. And I think there's something to be said for Jeff. Some of these polling groups need to be a little bit more transparent, I think, about where their funding is coming from, right? If there's a part of a poll that is completely wrong, but it happens to show that the Katie Britton-endorsed candidates are surging and doing really well, and it has a section in the poll that Katie Britt's endorsement is more powerful than Donald Trump's potentially in the state of Alabama, I wonder where that's coming from, and I wonder if that's slanted towards a certain senator in the state of Alabama. Now, that's not unusual. All of these groups, these candidates, these elected officials, they have their pollsters, they have their firms, they have the ability to try and sway public opinion of these races. But sometimes it's obvious for those of us that follow it closely. A lot of times it isn't. But I would say, Jeff, that polling is not cheap. It is expensive. I don't think people realize that it costs tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to get good, accurate polling out there. But why would you do that if you're a group or an individual? Because you want to try and sway the race, because you want to try and make it seem like your candidates are doing well, that your powerful endorsement is moving the needle, that your group has the ability to move voters, all of these things. But people should know that, right? And a lot of times they do. I mean, if the Alabama Forestry Association does a poll, they put their name on it. They say, we did this, we paid for it, we're tracking because we've endorsed certain candidates and we want to know where certain things stand. But a lot of times they just don't tell you what they're doing. And I think that that's a big problem in our politics because, look, again, there's no accountability when your polling was way off. When you were 15 points off, outside the 4-point margin of error, that goes to show that either A, you're really, really bad at polling, or B, you had an agenda where you were trying to make people think that an outcome was more likely in order to suppress some people turning out for a certain candidate. So I think it's absolutely a problem across the country. And frankly, Jeff, it's not getting better. It's only getting worse because there really isn't any accountability when these groups are really, really off.
Well, I think some of this polling, especially internal polling, they are ginning up the numbers, tinkering with the sample, oversampling certain areas, trying to get an outcome because they want a fundraising advantage. Well, you better give to this candidate because this candidate's going to win, and we're going to remember that when we're elected. Or you know, there's other, like, it's not just swaying public opinion. It's all part of the electioneering racket. And I you know, I guess that's up to whoever's stroking these checks to kind of, you know, be buyer beware. But to me, there's other, like, motivations here that sort of that's their justification for doing what they're doing.
Jeff, you're spot on. But here's the thing, right? As someone who's been involved in a number of these issue advocacy campaigns, a lot of these political campaigns, I can tell you, what do I want to show you? What do I want the numbers to show? That's the first question I ask. And then I figure out how to go get there. There are a lot of pollsters out there that will effectively put out any numbers you want if you're willing to pay them. That's a strategy, right? If I need to show that this race that's actually 20 points separator, if I want to show that it's really close, I know certain pollsters who will do that. If I want my internal numbers, and this is another thing that people don't realize, Jeff, a lot of times the internal numbers are the most accurate because if I'm a candidate, I need to know where I stand. I need to know, actually, is this race 20 points where I'm going to have to spend $1 million to get this competitive, or am I actually 4 points away? But a lot of times those internal polls don't get out, right? If I do a poll and I find that I'm 12 points down, well, I probably don't want to put that out. I don't want people to think that I'm going to lose, because then, to your point, that affects whether they're going to vote for me, whether they're going to donate money. All of the polling is a game. You know what you want your outcome to be. You go and you find a way to get it. And if you get back real numbers that don't look good for you, you bury them. You don't put them out there. So there is absolutely a lot of gamesmanship with these pollings. And again, it's not just political polling, right? Sometimes I want to show that an issue polls really well. If I'm trying to lobby on behalf of a bill, and I need to go and show that 70% of the American people love my bill, well, that's fairly easy to do. It's really not that hard of a thing. All of these groups, these massive groups that are trying to lobby, that are trying to go with data to, you know, when they go up on Capitol Hill, they're trying to lobby these members of Congress. They go armed with all of this polling data. And frankly, Jeff, again, as someone who's been on the other side of it on Capitol Hill with a member of Congress looking through it, a lot of it is just BS. And that's really the tough job of those of us that kind of work in politics, is figuring out what is the agenda and what's real and what's not. And again, I think you would probably agree, a lot of it just isn't legit.
Well, I tell you what's going on, and they do this, and I'm sure they do it on Capitol Hill, but I know it goes on in the Alabama legislature. They run polls, and if it's something leadership wants, the poll will, and maybe this polling data doesn't get released to the public a lot of times, but being an influential member of the media, I will sometimes get to see it at least, or be told about it. And so, for example, if leadership wants the Public Service Commission changed, or they want to push gambling, or whatever it may be, they'll provide polling to these lawmakers, and they will frame it in a way to say, well, this is what our reliable pollsters tell us. And I, you know, sometimes I question that like, they're kind of toying with the results here to get the outcome they want. And it's not even, like I said, it's not even public polling. It's just internal polling. And they sometimes manipulate that even to get lawmakers on board with whatever policy agenda that they're trying to promote.
Absolutely. And again, there should be transparency in that, right? If I go and present you a polling from the poor Hampson firm that does whatever kind of polling we're putting in front of you, they should be required to say this group paid for it. This is who put their money behind it. And then it becomes a little bit more clear to go, okay, that this group paid for this to show this. They clearly want this. And there's still a place for it. I think that having the insights of the general public, of the voters, is really important, right? Knowing that 88% of the American people, and even a large swath of Democrats, are supportive of the Save America Act, for example, that's a good thing. That absolutely helps move public sentiment on a number of these issues. But there are a lot of things out there that just frankly aren't helpful, aren't useful, and are being used to manipulate decision makers. We've done it. We've seen it. It happens very frequently. But it is absolutely something that I think people should be aware of. When these polls are publicly released, who's funding them? And let us at least try and figure out why that might be the case. Because it does work a lot of the times, Jeff. You're absolutely right. I mean, when they go to these groups and say, look, if you want to be reelected, here's an issue that's polling really well, a lot of these guys will keep that in the back of their mind when they're voting. I may not necessarily agree with this, but if 77% of people say it's a really great thing, maybe I should think twice about supporting this bill or about doing this thing. It absolutely makes a big difference for a lot of these decision makers.
Well, and one more thing on polling, since that's kind of the thrust of this segment, but the DCCC earlier, I mean, I guess Sunday, put out a poll, and I don't buy it, but, you know, and obviously consider the source is the DCCC. They polled in Alabama, and you know, seeing the DCCC do anything in Alabama is eye-raising, but Rhett Marcus tied with Shamari Figures. Now, I don't think that Rhett Marcus, as a Republican, has a commanding lead, but that the race is tied might be a little bit of wish casting. And I kind of wonder if this is the game of checkers they're playing, that they're looking and they're thinking, well, we can make this race seem like, create the perception that it's competitive, force the Republicans to come in, waste a bunch of money and time and resources here. And then that is, these are things that will be used or could be used elsewhere, but they won't have them because they're too busy trying to fight a, what is not really competitive race in Alabama.
Well, or the flip side, Jeff, could be potentially Democrats understand if they're able to throw a lot of resources and win a race in Alabama. If the Alabama legislature, the racists in Alabama, use the courts to silence the African-American vote in their state in the deep South, and the black incumbent Democrats still finds a way to win, that's a pretty big narrative coming out of election night. So I think you're looking at this, and again, Democrats understand if we can show that this is a competitive race, let's get national money to flow into Alabama too. And on the flip side, Republicans probably don't care, right? I mean, Rep. Marcus, endorsed by Trump, endorsed by Katie Britt, has some good backing, but not the most exciting guy out there. The question is, do national Republicans feel like they have to come in and kind of save him in Alabama, or do they feel like maybe we go elsewhere with resources? Meanwhile, the D-Trip is out there making the case that we got to flood Alabama, because that would be pretty embarrassing if the Trump-endorsed candidate loses in a newly drawn district. So polling can be used in a lot of these different ways to try and inspire, to try and depress, all of these things. But at the end of the day, it comes down to who goes out and who votes, Jeff. We all know that. We know what's important, and we know that the only poll that matters is Election Day.
Will, folks want to find you online, where can they look?
D. Will Hampson on X.
Will, we appreciate your time. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks as always, Jeff.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Tuesday morning. Coming up on the program on Wednesday's broadcast tomorrow, Terry Waters, he is the Republican nominee for state senate over here, North Baldwin County, Escambia County. He's running. He'll join us in the Fairhope Bureau. He defeated in the Republican primary, Greg Allbritton, longtime state senator, budget committee chair, general fund budget committee chairman. So we'll hear from him tomorrow. Also on the show from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery, Joey Clark making his regular appearance. And a guest to be named later. We'll figure that out at the conclusion very shortly on today's broadcast. Always x.com/Jeff_poor. Sometime in the 8 o'clock hour, I post a guest list. Midday Mobile coming up, best of, so you'll want to stick around for that. But I am told by a reliable source that Sean will be back tomorrow. So there you have it. See, text line. This for Sean. Well, you won't get this. Easy Maverick asks, hey, Sean, when did Pacific Storm become hurricanes? They were typhoons. I blame Obama and the worthless. The worthless AZ Maverick, referring to, I assume, John McCain. I don't know when they changed that, speaking for Sean, who's not here today. But maybe it's something more to do with if it's in the Western Hemisphere. Somebody on the text line knows the answer to this. And what other countries refer to their tropical weather events as. Well, you know, it's up to them, but not necessarily the whatever the agencies are, the National Hurricane Center, determining that moniker. But you're right about that. We're still very it's the flock camera debate and that coming up, but also polls and what to expect out of that. That's probably an untold story here, especially here in Alabama. But anyway, it's time to get out of here. I got to get out of here, make room for Midday Mobile. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.